The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, Lord Christ. As he walked along, Jesus saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been formerly blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes. Then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that now he sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So, for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, But he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and you are trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said, "Surely, we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." The Gospel of the Lord. So you may have this available to you in a link on Facebook, but I'll get a little bit closer so that you can see this. So what do you see? Those who are in the room here have cheated. They've seen this before. In case you don't know what it is, it's this optical illusion made famous by the Danish psychologist Edgar Rubin. And when he showed this simple picture, some people saw a vase on a background, the white background there, and then others see two white faces facing toward one another. He went on to hypothesize that what you see doesn't depend on the image itself. You choose to see the other image by reversing the object in the foreground and its background. And how the brain processes vision, what we are able to see, is dynamic and malleable. Different people see different things when looking at the same object. In fact, some have tried to apply a personality test to what you see first here. We won't do that. These stories you've heard read today, the stories of Samuel and the healing of the blind man, share a common theme, don't they? Vision, seeing. In one case, Jesse, a hopeful father, parades his sons before the crusty old prophet Samuel. I love this story. It's kind of like a male beauty pageant. Samuel inspects them for their height, their strength, and their looks. I wonder if this one can bench press twice his weight. Well, can this one sing? And oh, look at that one. He looks like Ryan Gosling. Does this one have a secret stockpile of toilet paper and white rice? And one by one, the story tells us, they pass before Samuel. And God whispers into his ear, "Nope, not this one." And finally, at the end of the parade, Samuel asks, "Jesse, do you have any other sons?" "Well, there is one more, I think. I kind of forget about him most days. He's out in the pasture with the sheep. He plays an out-of-tune guitar, and he makes up these really silly songs. Surely you don't want to meet him." So while the fried chicken is getting cold on the table, they send the servants into the field to fetch the youngest son. David walks in, probably dirty, not smelling so nice. And God prompts Samuel. That's the one. He's it. And the point of this story may well be that Samuel has been blinded by his grief over God's rejection of Saul, that his vision for the new thing that God is about to do is impaired. The Lord does not regard outward appearances, but sees into the hearts. And that's really good news for some of us, isn't it? God says those words to the visually impaired prophet who then anoints David, the new king of Israel, and the rest is history. The story of this man who is born blind, when you get down to it and read through it several times, it's really a comical story. A lot of back and forth. It has to be the longest gospel reading in the history of the human race. So if I act a little out of breath, I am. It's a one-act play. It has six scenes, and there is this large cast of characters. There are the 12 disciples. There are the nosy neighbors, the Pharisees, the two parents, the man himself, and then, of course, Jesus. The story actually revolves around the last two. And did you catch it? Both of them are so-called sinners. The man, because he was born blind, or so they believed, and then Jesus, because he broke the law by healing the man on the Sabbath day. Jesus puts mud on the blind man's eyes, and then he just disappears. He's gone. He doesn't show up until the end of the story. And this poor blind man who was just sitting by the roadside, minding his own business, he went to work as normal every day. Someone comes by, they smear mud on his eyes, tell him to go off and wash in a pool. And the next thing you know, there's a press conference. He's standing in front of the cameras, blinded by all of the light and the confusion of all those questions being thrown at him. How did you recover your sight? Where did this happen? Who did it? Click, click, click. How did he do it? And as this story moves on, the man's responses become more pointed. You kind of see a progression in the man's responses, his own understanding of what's happened. Finally, to the point where his words inspire a hymn that we're going to sing in just a few minutes in this worship service. So he says to the high church court, "One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." And he becomes an evangelist. We've heard these stories over the last few weeks of how these unlikely people, in really strange and sometimes terrible circumstances, end up becoming evangelists, the very first evangelists in the history of the church. And he says, "Hey, do you want to follow Jesus too? Here's an astonishing thing," he finally says. "You don't know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. If this man was not from God, he couldn't do this." And so the church authorities clasp their pearls like they do in the South and gasp. As Barbara Brown Taylor writes, "A nobody from nowhere who was blind until about 45 minutes ago has just told the board of elders that they could not see God if God bit them on the nose." And so they do what, I hate to say it, but what a lot of religious people and a lot of churches do. They drive the man out of the board meeting and the congregation. "You are not welcome here any longer." Well, this is a long story. And as I said, Jesus appears only at the beginning and the end. And the story ends with Jesus hearing through the grapevine that the man had been excommunicated, And Jesus does what God has been doing since the dawn of time. He went on a search and rescue mission. The season of Lent and these stories we've been hearing from the Gospels, and this unusual time in which we are living today, remind us that we are faced with two choices in how we respond to what's going on around us. We can choose to see things through the lens of anxiety, fear, and withdrawal, or we can choose to do what the Pharisees would not do. It meant that we have blind spots, and we all do, and sometimes we'll have blind spots one moment, and then 5 minutes later we won't, and then 2 minutes later we will again. But if we admit we have the blind spots and then accept Jesus' gracious invitation to see the world as God sees it, something happens. And by the way, do you see that ancient pattern here of repentance and trust, turning away and turning to? That's what Lent reminds us to do. Every day, every hour. I'm sure as soon as this service is ended, there will be another announcement. As this crisis unfolds, all of us will be tempted to see the world through the lens of fear. Fear distorts our vision. Fear causes us to panic, to hoard toilet paper, for crying out loud. But to hoard, to despair, some of us, many of us, to withdraw, and then, of course, the temptation to blame. Someone somewhere is responsible for this. Let's find them. We can become blinded by the bombardment of the latest news cycle and the uncertainty that gnaws at us, and it seems like it is constant these days. And let me be quick to say, none of us are immune from those feelings. We're human beings, after all. And some days I feel like we're kind of like the blind man. We're stumbling blindly through this COVID-19 reality. And let me be even more quick to say, this is sermon number two today, that those who are saying this is a punishment from God for whatever, fill in the blank, I've seen Obama blame, Trump blame, the Chinese, the Clintons, the gays, and groups and persons all over the world named as a reason for divine retribution. And let me say clearly, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is not in the business of arbitrarily punishing innocent people. At the beginning of this passage, Jesus' own followers fall into that heretical, and it is a heresy, that heretical trap. Did this man sin, or was it something his mama and daddy did? If we allow God to open the eyes of our hearts this day and to see the world as God sees it, then something happens. This passage, you know, conjures up the story of creation, where God breathes life into the mud pie made in the shape of a human being. God can breathe life into the dust of our situation. Jesus can take a handful of dirt and spit into it, and eyes are opened. The naysayers, the blamers, shake their heads, and a beggar can become a messenger of the good news. So I wonder, on this fourth Sunday of Lent, which, by the way, in liturgical life is the Sunday of joy, what hidden truths, what realities lie just under the surface of our current anxiety? What are the opportunities for growth and transformation? Where is God at work even now, even while we're in this service? in the midst of a worldwide pandemic. There is a lot of uncertainty, that is for sure. There is a lot of fear. But my sisters and brothers, there is a lot of goodness and kindness and love that is being shared right now. People in the parish are stepping up to meet financial needs, to pick up groceries for those who can't get out. I get peppered every day with emails asking, how can I help? What can I do? And if you've done that, just hold on. We're working on it. An elderly woman with a cold up the street from us in our neighborhood who needed Kleenex on Thursday had literally dozens of us on the Facebook feed. It was almost like we were competing for the opportunity to go to the store and buy her a box of Kleenex. The air is cleaner in Beijing. I mean, you can actually see the sky. The canals of Venice are clear. The wildlife has returned. I connected with someone who says they're my relative. They're a pastor in another part of the country. Who knows what can come out of all this? And here's why all of this is so important. You go where your vision takes you. How you view the world around you determines where you will go. Your perspective, your worldview, there's the reason why we call it a worldview. Your worldview determines your direction. The gospel, the good news, the joyful news of this day is that God sees beyond outward appearances and looks on our hearts. Jesus, even as I speak to you today, has come looking for you, right where you are, no matter your situation, more than ready to listen to all your fears and concerns. He can handle it. God can handle all of this. And give you new and life-giving ways in which to see the world around you. Where we see obstacles, brokenness, and dead ends, God sees restoration, recreation, and endless possibilities. Sisters and brothers, God can give vision, sight to the mud-smeared eyes of our hearts, so that all of us, wherever we are, can say with the man in the gospel, well, all I know is that I was blind, and now I see. Amen.